This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that began back in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor alongside. I guess we can begin with weather, right? Conditions not ideal last night. They say the mud and the muck. I asked Coach Graves, do kids like playing in those type of conditions? And you're more recently removed from the process than I am. Do kids like playing in those type of conditions, yes or no?
I didn't. Terrible.
Well, you're soft. That's
right. Well, but last night I was in Erie, and it was.
There's a picture on our Facebook page from.
It was awful. I mean, it was a downpour the entire time. I mean, it didn't stop raining the whole night, and it was like hard rain the whole time. And I know there was no lightning, but still, I was sitting there. I mean, when we got there, Eric and I were talking. We were like, "How can you even play in this?" I mean, it was. And Eric said, "You know, he's like, I've never seen anything like this." It was. Pouring the whole game in both teams. It was just kind of a sloppy mess. And we'll talk about the results last night in a moment. But weather-wise, in Erie, it was about as bad as you could really imagine.
But no thunder or lightning, and that's the big issue. Now, I know in my game last night, I was over at Hall Township in Spring Valley. So about 20 minutes before the game started, the bank of lights on the visitor side went out. So there were no lights.
Oh, boy.
So this was during warm-ups, and you're concerned, well, are they going to be able to play the game? And they were able to get the situation corrected. However, one light standard kind of toward the 30-yard line remained dark the whole game. But the one thing I hate about the weather events, especially in football, if you start the game and then have to stop it and resume, especially with those type of conditions with the uniforms and that type of stuff, you have to worry about putting on the next day. So, you know, when you go to the venue, you say, we're here, hopefully, for the duration in week eight. You can't suspend a game and then pick it up and play the next day. And I know, I understand with the administrators, the decisions they have to make, but, you know, you just don't like to see the suspension. So that's the thing I'm most satisfied about is none of the games got suspended and have to resume today. They were able to get them in last night.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about in the press box last night, pregame for Sherrard. Coach Swanson and Coach Foster were up there, and we were talking with them, and that's what Coach Swanson said. He's like, you know, we're here, so I hope we play because, you know, we made the trip here. So that's kind of, I think, once you get there, you want to just play the game. You don't want to have to, you know, have it suspended and move to the following day, which is never fun. So, yeah, it's good. It looks like everybody around the area got their games in last night, which I think was a definite concern heading into the week. So this is good to see.
All right, well, Mercer County has a chance to win out now. So finish at 6-3, holding back Macomb late 24-16. I can't remember, were the Eagles 2-3 at one time or not?
I think so. I think they were 2-3.
Yeah, so they have a chance to win out on a roll. Again, winning in conditions last night at Pratt Memorial Field. I know they had the senior night festivities inside, winning 24-16. Are you following any of the potential like playoff projections yet? Is it too early to talk about that? I know there's a lot of sites.
A little bit.
So who are the Eagles going to play if they finish 6-3? Are they going to play 8-1 Knoxville?
With NUIC football had them playing Wilmington, who is kind of on the 2A, 3A border. But you know, I mean, it's hard to tell now. Obviously, a couple of the results last night will throw that out because I think he had Knoxville going 9-0, and they got absolutely blasted by Fulton, which I think to a extent kind of says a lot about the Lincoln Land Conference, right? When you see the team who's demolished everybody in the league, and then they go and play out a conference and get crushed 42-0. So yeah, we'll see. That was an interesting result. Yeah. So
well, and then so Fulton, they were 4-3, right, going in. So yeah. They lost.
Well, but their losses were to Lena Winslow, who's number 1 in 1A, Forreston, who's number 3 in 1A, Dupec, who's in the top 10 in 3A. So I mean, they've played. Those are three losses, but three good teams.
So long story short, what you're saying is the 1A state title runs through the NUIC again.
Yeah, and
this year, I guess
I'm saying the Northwest Upstate Illini is better than the Lincoln Land, if you can believe
it. Well, but I mean, it has been. I mean,
right,
it's just football supreme at NUIC with what they've done the last 10 to 15 years. There's no question about that. So I know last night Rock Ridge, kind of looking at that game, their defense allowed one first down last night. So they've allowed four first downs in two games, and they've allowed one score in two games. And I think the other big thing last night, just penalized two times. So they've been penalized four times. Of course, following that week 5 and week 6 situation where they had 27 penalties in two games. But Hall had very little chance to move the ball last night against the Rockets, who scored on their first four possessions of the first half and then scored on their first possession of the second half, a predominant run game. However, the big concern late in the game, there was a guy that wears jersey number 6 that had to leave.
Yeah, that's not
but,
good.
But he's okay. Good. Just of a cramping situation. And then I know Landon Bull late had to leave the game, but just kind of a minor ankle roll. So, but those are the things you worry about now this time of the season, are injuries when you're hoping to finish 8-1 like Rock Ridge and play in the 2A playoff bracket. So that was kind of a thumbnail sketch of the Rockets last night. They just really took care of business. I know Coach Cook and I talked about it. Are you worried about a letdown after last week? And they weren't. They were in the game from the onset and made a statement early. And I know Trek, in that Sherrard game last night, you just knew the weather conditions, that a team likes to spread the field and move the ball. You knew that was probably going to impact play a little bit, and apparently couldn't really get on track offensively last night.
Not at all. And Eric and I talked about it on the broadcast last night. I mean, in terms of the way it was pouring in Erie, I mean, there's not a team that I think would be affected more by the rain than Sherrard in the area, just because they rely so heavily on throwing the ball, and they just weren't able to do it last night. They attempted 19 passes, completed just 8 of them. Sherrard finished with 4 turnovers last night in that game. Erie Prophetstown had the ball for 31.5 minutes compared to just 16.5 for Sherrard in terms of time of possession. Sherrard did have a couple. They had just 2 penalties, but they were killers. They had a touchdown called back late in the first half, and then they got it first and goal at the 3 in the final 30 seconds and got a false start, moving them back to the 8, and they weren't able to score with the heavy rain coming down. They weren't able to get into the end zone. There was a drive for Erie Prophetstown last night where, when the Panthers were trailing 7-6, the touchdown they got in the final minute of the first half to go up 12-7. They got it their own 44 off of, or I should say at the Sherrard 44 off of a turnover. Held on to the ball for 7.5 minutes, scored a touchdown, and on that drive they fumbled 4 times and recovered all of them. And 2 of them were on 4th down plays, where one of them was 4th and 1, the other was 4th and 6, where it was a bad snap, and the running back picked up the ball off the ground, Dimitri Larson for Erie Prophetstown, and he got to the edge and got the first down on just a broken play. It was 2 4th downs in a row, and on the second one, the second one was when it was 4th and 6, and Sherrard had the play defended perfectly up the middle, but the snap got away, and Larson just got to the outside, and as he turned the corner, I think I even said on the broadcast, I said, you've got to be kidding me, because he got down to like the 10, and then they scored a couple of plays later, and it was just one of those nights for Sherrard. And we talk about, you know, the bad luck that program just faces year in and year out. It seems like another night where they run into the terrible weather, and They have a bunch of weird plays that happen where, you know, Erie Provison probably fumbled the ball six or seven times all night and only lost one of them. So it was just one of those nights for the Tigers. And again, though, offensively, just couldn't get anything going. Just 123 yards of total offense, 241 yards for Erie Provincetown. And Panthers quarterback Jeremiah Kochevar, 21 carries, 122 yards, and two touchdowns. So that, unfortunately, Sherrard's fifth loss of the season, which you don't like to hear that.
Well, and I know Erie Provincetown plays Rockridge the next Friday. And when I saw Erie Provincetown play Orion, I thought, man, this is a team that has some kids. And I know their schedule is kind of top-heavy early yeah. with the level of competition they play. So, I mean, that team has a bit of a deceiving record now. So Sherrard drops to 3-5. They got the Titans, Monmouth, Roseville in week 9. Now, basically, you know, we're talking about very slim chances. Now, there is some chatter that potentially 4-5, some, you know, a small number of 4-5 teams could get into the playoffs.
Right.
So, but
you don't want to rely on that.
That's right. I mean, it's a slim possibility, but there is a minor flame flickering if you got to go out and try and win the game on Friday.
Eric and I talked about that a little bit last night because he's been looking into that stuff, and they do, the IHSA does like the playoff outlook every week, and Sherrard had, coming into this week, of the teams that were 3-4, had the most playoff points, I think by a little margin. So, but again, you can't rely on that, and it's just, this, like we talked about too, and Eric I think said it really well last week, or I should say last night on our post game, we talked about how it felt, you know, really deflating and disappointing that Sherrard lost that game. But he said in the short time that Coach Johnston's been there, the shift in the interest in that Sherrard football program, where he said, you know, Eric was like, you know, I mean, previously Sherrard football was like, people would say, you know, do they even have a game this week? But, and he said to shift that to now being really disappointed and upset over a loss in a game you felt you should have won in week 8, he's like, that's a big step forward. But obviously, right now, you'd rather win the game. And unfortunately, the Tigers weren't able to do it last night following Erie Provincetown. Yeah. So, and I feel bad because that team, we've said it all year, is a quality team and definitely a playoff caliber team, but just unable to get over the hump.
So they had how many yards offensively when they played Rockridge? Do you remember?
I think over 300.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of offense that they have on a dry field. But that's the thing, and I know John was here because we talk about it a lot when the playoffs roll around. He always talks about, you know, if you think about making a 5-week run in the playoffs, he said, well, one, you got to be good. Two, you got to deal with at least one weather game. And three, you got to get a lucky break along the way. And you have to have all three of those things to get to a state championship weekend. Orion last night, the Chargers fall to Monmouth Roseville, 49-35 was the final there. So a high scoring affair. Now the elephant in the room, everyone knows there's been social media chatter this week about the head coach, with some people being unhappy with him. So I think that's kind of bubbling under the surface, and I guess we're going to see how all this plays out as the regular season winds down.
Yeah, but one thing about Orion, and you'll hear our conversation with Coach Filler coming up a little bit later on. You know, they got down 21-0 and then 28-7 and were able to battle back and cut it to a one-score game two separate times. So, like you said, with kind of all the stuff going on around that program the past week, for them to battle back and not just roll over and get blown out, I think says a lot about the kids and the coaches too. I mean, to keep battling. So, very, I think, encouraging to see that, and Orion wraps up with Riverdale next week in a game they definitely should win. So we'll see how the regular season ends for the Chargers.
So you look at some of the other scores in the area last night. You know, Kewaunee putting a 34 on the board against a very